We've been in a series called I Am Involved. And we talked about the first part was knowing about being just really, really interceding, really, really catching the heart of God, catching the heart of the Father. And then after you catch his heart, my next question comes in, how do you interact? Because it's one thing to have the right motives. It's another thing to do the right thing. Having the right motives is everything. That's key. That's like you need to know why you're doing it. You need to know the why behind your action. And you need it to be so pure. And then you need to have an action behind your why or in front of your why. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So before we get really dive in, I just want to make an open declaration. So repeat after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for your word. I receive your word. My heart's open. My mind's alert. Thank you for transforming me today. Awesome. Well, the word interact. I love it. The word interact means communication or direct involvement with someone or something. Like, the thing about God is he always wanted to interact with humankind. Even in the garden, when he created man, God made man for a relationship, but God's always the one who started the interacting. You know that? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and... So God's not looking for us to kind of start the interaction. He's looking for us to respond. That's really good there. He's waiting on our response to what he's doing. God is saying, like, are you ready to respond to me? Are you really ready to interact? Because sometimes it's weird. How many people ever had those weird moments where God, where you're like unsure, uncertain, not really knowing if it's really him or not? And be quite honest, you're like freaking out and terrified. Anyone ever had those moments? I absolutely have. Like, I mean, it's terrifying. And I remember one day I was laying in my bed. And it was one of the most strangest experiences. I was laying in my bed, and I'm laying there, and I just start feeling this, like, electricity moving all through my body. It felt like I was like, ah. And then I felt it hit into my mind, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So you know my first reaction, right? God, what's going on? And all of a sudden, peace came over me. Do you know every time when God wanted to interact with man, one of the first things he released is peace? He says, do not be afraid. Because that's the biggest hindrance to God actually speaking to us, moving through us, and getting involved with him and getting ready for him to interact. There's actually a really awesome story about this, and it starts in Matthew's the 14th chapter. And if you have your Bibles, turn to it. If not, it's going to be here. And we're going to pick up at the 22nd verse, and I'm going to give a little background. Jesus just did an awesome miracle feeding people. You know, he's tired. You know, Sermon on the Mount and everything went down. And Jesus is like, okay, you disciples, go ahead across the sea. What I'm going to do is spend some secret time with me and God on a mountaintop. So Jesus went to spend secret time with God. The disciples are on the sea. They're on this boat. And guess what? They were fishermen. Peter, I'm pretty sure Peter was probably like staring at everything because he was like the fisherman dude. And guess what happened? It gets really late. They're like, Jesus, where in the world are you? So they're like, well, he told us to go. So somehow he'll figure out how he's going to transport over there. Because, you know, there was no airplanes. I mean, you had a chariot, but I never seen one go on water. So this is where this story picks up at. And it says here, as soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people. After the crowd dispersed, Jesus went up to the hills to pray. And as night fell, he was there praying alone. I love that. Let's just pause right there. Jesus went to pray alone. Do you know why? It's one thing to pray and speak when you're in front of people. What's more important is what I'm doing when no one else is around. In your personal life, it's more important what you're doing when no one else is around. It's more important that you're talking to God, you're speaking with God, you're really interacting. It's easy to do it when you're in a crowd of people. Put it this way, it's easy for me to be a Pittsburgh Steelers fan in Pittsburgh. Woo! Got another one, yeah. But it's if I'm a Steelers fan in the middle of downtown Cleveland and I'm wearing my Steelers jersey, come on, dude. You know how it is. You got the t-shirt too. But we know how that is. So what matters is when no one else is around, when you feel the opposition, when everything looks crazy, you're still with your Father. And in the middle of it, you no longer have highs and lows, but you have this even tone to yourself where you're like, I'm so confident in God and I'm so content in who He is and who I am in Him. It's going to be an okay day, guys. Because that's what God wants to do with us. So here you have Jesus. He went up to pray. But the disciples who were now in the middle of the lake ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by high winds and a heavy sea. Talk about that, right? How many people listen to what Jesus tells them to do and then they run right into trouble right after that? Ever happened to you? Like Jesus tells you to do something and you know what you're going to do is going to cause conflict? I've been there. First of all, I don't like conflict, but I'm not against being a peacemaker. Sometimes conflict is the way to bringing peace. And a lot of times we run from conflict. We run from really being honest with people. We run from being honest with situations because we're scared that I don't really want them to really know what's going on in here, because then they may think something different of me. So we listen to Jesus, but then we run from the conflict. When you're following Him, sometimes He's going to lead you right into conflict because He wants to bring His peace in the middle of it. He wants you to carry Jesus inside of you. He wants you to be the conduit to release His peace to the world. But if you're not walking in a place of peace, you will not be able to do that. So this is what happens. And it says, at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I mean, he had to be up there for some time, 4 a.m. Anyone wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning or stay up that late? I do, and my wife's like, why don't you go to bed? But she loves me. She really wants me to take care of me. That's why she says, you need to go to bed. But about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the waves. And when the disciples saw Him walking on top of the water, they were terrified and screamed. Do you understand that part of the reason why they were terrified was because these disciples are used to being in the middle of a storm. They're used to having a wave go. They're used to being there. It wasn't Peter's first time on a boat in the middle of a storm, but this was very peculiar. Because they're there, they're waiting for Jesus, it's nighttime, and all of a sudden this figure comes walking on top of the water. That's really weird, isn't it? What was the first initial response to them? Their first initial response was that they were terrified. They screamed. Could you imagine a bunch of grown men screaming like little girls? Because that's what happened. They screamed so much. And it says, if you look at the King James, it says, and they thought it was a ghost. I mean, personally, if I'm like 4 o'clock in the morning and some sort of apparition comes to me, I'm going to freak out. How many people are there with me? Like, there was this time I was praying. No joke. I was praying and I was just praying and my eyes were closed. And in front of me, I see this massive wall of fire. Do you know I stopped praying? Immediately, I freaked out like, oh God. And then later on in the Bible, it says, I'll build a wall of fire around you. It's really cool. But sometimes when things happen that we're not used to, we need the truth of God to back it up to bring us peace. But if we don't know what God's truth is, how can we ever have peace in that circumstance, in that scenario? So one thing is, God desires to interact with you. But the way He interacts may not be something that you're used to. Did you catch that? Because if we're just expecting God to do the same thing that He always did, Right? I understand he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But our relationship with him, he wants to take us deeper because there is a depth in God that is so amazing. Paul called it the multifaceted wisdom of God. He says, oh, how unsearchable is the riches of the wisdom of God. If you're no longer excited or interacting with God in a way that brings you joy and excitement and you don't have a thriving relationship, it's going to be boring and mundane, isn't it? Do you know, like, in my marriage, I am very sporadic. You can ask my wife sometimes. I'm like, honey, get, let's go. Boom. She's like, where are we going? What are we doing? What's happening? What's going on? And I'm like, I can't tell you. Just come on. And sometimes that doesn't gel with her all the way, does it, sweetie? She's like, I don't like when you do that sometimes. I was like, honey, I'm sporadic and it's a surprise. She's like, yeah, but, you know, I like this consistent. I like my schedule. And I have nothing against that because do you know that we need both? We need both consistency and we need also sporadic. I need to have a constant relationship with God where I'm talking with him and I'm in the word. You get what I'm saying? I'm not only speaking to him, but I'm in his word because I need his word to connect to what he's saying today. I need that. But then I also need God to just say, hey, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden, oh, boom. I'm like, and I'm made aware of the presence of God. I need to be in worship where I don't feel anything. How many people know it's okay when you're worshiping and you don't feel God's presence? Because that means you're moving in faith. But there's times in worship where I do and I'm excited and there's this sporadic love of God. Do you know that's the type of relationship God wants to have with us? He doesn't want you to say, I got God figured out. He wants you to say, what do you want to teach me today, Papa? What do you want to do today, Papa? What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's going on with you? So then Jesus speaks, right? He says this. Jesus said, be brave and do not be afraid. I am here. I love it. If you look at the King James, it says, do not be full of fear. He's like, it's me. Hello. Like the Adele song. He's like, I'm here. And Jesus wants us to know that if you don't know it's him, he wants you to test him. And that's exactly what the disciples did. Not all of them, though. How can you be in a boat with 12 men and only one man stands up? Sometimes in life, you may be the only one in the group to stand up. Are you still willing to stand up and look stupid for it? And are you still willing to seem like, I could imagine, like, could you imagine being around Peter? Like, dude, he always, like, speaks up and stands up. He makes me feel like we're a bunch of idiots. You know what I'm saying? It's always that one in the bunch, right? It's always that one in the family, huh? Guess what? I was the one in my family. You can ask my brothers and sisters. So anyway, Peter shouted out, Lord, if it's really you, then have me join you on the water. Come and join me, Jesus replied. Jesus is waiting. He's constantly waiting for us to say, I want you, God. I want you. And he's waiting for you to realize it's him. But how many times sometimes weird things happen and you don't know if it's God or not? Who's been there? You don't know if it's God. Like, I'm getting, like, electrocuted in my bed. I didn't know it was God. I'm just being honest. And I'm sitting there shaking. And I'm like, oh, God. And all of a sudden, peace came on me. And it's like, oh, hi, Jesus. It's you. What are you doing? I'll share this story with you. There was a time in my life where I picked up a C.S. Lewis book. And I like C.S. Lewis. But there was a time I could not understand his books. So I threw it on the ground. And I said, Lord, I don't get it. You got to do something here. After that experience, and I don't chase experience, I chase Jesus. I picked up a C.S. Lewis book and I laughed my head off because it was like plain English to me. Then I picked up another book that was really supposed to be hard to read. And I'm like, this is really simple. But it was after me yielding to what God wanted to do. Sometimes when you're praying, God, God wants to interact with you. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to interact with God in prayer. Paul said, build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the... Whoa, what in the world does that mean? For one moment, don't panic, you know. What does that mean? Praying in the Spirit. Or it says, pray, build yourself up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So there's a place that I can pray at that has a real interaction in which God is praying through me and I'm praying through Him. That's really cool. There's a place where I can begin to close my eyes and meditate on the Lord, and the Lord can begin to show me visions. That's really cool. God wants to interact with you in a deeper way than what you have ever known or realized. But are you willing to allow Him to do that? Do you know Peter was? Like, do you know Peter never walked on water before? How many people in this room walked on water before? I'm not talking about on skis. I haven't. I mean, if I probably would have been Peter, I would have been trying to find Nemo, you know? So what happened? And when Peter came down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But seeing that the wind was strong, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. So let's stop. Most of the time, people recognize this story and they look at, oh, look, Peter sunk. Peter fell. Peter... Dude, he was the only one out of 12 men to step outside a boat and say, Lord, Jesus says, don't be afraid. The rest of the guys are sitting there panicking like Shaggy and Scooby. Like, seriously, hey, Scoob! Like, seriously, that's how they were. But Peter's like, Lord, if it's really you, let me come. So Peter, what he ends up doing is, and let me tell you, the storm was still going. Things were still happening. Things did not quiet down. And it was happening. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, let me step down and come to you. And so Peter steps out of the boat, right? He steps out of the boat. Like, first of all, if you just want to talk about physics, it does not make sense. If you want to just talk about, hey, I'm a fisherman. I understand how water works. You go in water, you either sink or you float. It's one or the other. You don't walk on top of it. But Peter had to go against the natural reasoning of what man thought to get into the reasoning of what God thought for that moment. A lot of times in our life, we have to lose our reasoning from man's perspective. There's actually a scripture about that. It says this, for the wisdom of this world is first sensual and demonic. But the wisdom of God is teachable, peace, it brings love, hope. Joy, excitement, anything that brings you life is from God because He's the God of life. Everything that brings death does not come from Him because He doesn't know death. This is the truth. So Peter went against every reasoning that seemed right unto a man, because there's a lot of ways that seem right to man. But there's only one way that produced life, and Jesus said, I'm that way. I'm that truth, and I'm that life. So Peter steps out of the boat at the Lord's word. A lot of times, we're wondering why God isn't doing something in our lives, but I'm asking you, are you stepping out on the Lord's word? Because Peter didn't just jump out of the boat and run. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. Are you hearing what God is saying to you today? Because if not, that's maybe the hindrance of why you're not seeing God move like the way you would like Him to move in your life and relationship. A good way to do that is just find a verse in the Bible that you know God's speaking to you. Find some of the promises of God. Begin to confess those promises over you. Begin to put your faith with those promises and step into it. But Peter steps out. And he starts getting afraid, because how many people know that was unfamiliar territory to him at that moment? In your relationship with God, He wants to take you in unfamiliar territory. He doesn't want to just take you to the same old. He wants to take you on an adventure. It's a journey. Some things are going to be consistent, like you need to pray. You need to spend time with Him. You need to read the Word so the Word gets in you. What good is it if having a book full of power if you're not allowing the power to influence you? Like, do you understand the Bible is a book of the Spirit? That's what it is. So it's a supernatural book. But if you're not reading it, how are you ever going to live a supernatural life? It's a book from God, but how are you ever going to live in a place with God if you're not reading what God has said already? So Peter steps out. Unfamiliar territory. Uh-oh, what's going on? The winds are too strong. He heard the sound of the thunder. He heard the waves crashing. He starts looking at the situation around. He starts getting his focus. His attention went to what other people are going to think. His attention went to, look what's around me. This is crazy. This doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense for a little 14-year-old boy to go against a giant either. It didn't make sense for the children of Israel to walk around one of the most fortified cities for 7 days. It was called Jericho. And on the seventh day, the walls came tumbling down. It's actually a little children's song. That doesn't make sense. We have to get past what makes sense to man to see what makes sense to God. So Peter begins to look around. He freaks out and he cries, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, little faith, why did you doubt? And when they came into the boat, the wind ceased. Do you know what? Like, I love that statement. And like, I don't get offended when Jesus says, have faith. He's really telling me, Tap, you have way too much reasoning as a man and you're not reasoning from the things of God. If you would reason from the things of God, you wouldn't freak out so much. But because you don't know me like that yet, that's why you freaked out so much. Marriage moment, you ready? My wife said I have freedom to use her in illustrations. If she doesn't, if a shoe comes flying off, you know why. Or if I get the look, the men know the look. So check this out. In your marriage, or when you're dating someone, you really don't know them yet. Like, you know, after we courted for a while. You know, I told her I don't date, I court. She's like, what in the world does that mean? I said, I'm old fashioned. And she's like, okay, so we courted, and then we got married, and then she's like, I thought I knew you. I said, I thought I knew you too. And we found out that we didn't know each other like we thought we did. But as time went on, we began to know each other more. Now we're going on 7 years. Some people are like, I've been 50 years in it, buddy. I still don't know what's going on. Oh, I love it. Oh, man. But I found the closeness that we have. We learned each other's rhythm. We learned each other's dance moves. We learned the things that she likes, and she learns the things I like. I know the things that really irritate her. Sometimes I do it just for fun. And she knows the things that irritates me, but we started to learn one another. So what God wants to say to you in your relationship is, I want you to know me deeper. I want you to know me more. Don't ever be satisfied where you're at. Don't ever be satisfied in what you've experienced from God. Let me say this real clear, because I want to be clear. An encounter with God is an invitation for you to go deeper in a relationship with Him. We don't seek the encounter, we seek the relationship. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not against God encountering me. I welcome it. But I want a deep, intimate relationship. It's when, you know, in the old school, they would sing, I shall not be moved. Why? Because something deep inside was solidified in them. And men's, when the waves came and when the winds blew, they were unshakable. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's actually a psalm. It's Psalms 1:1-3. And the third verse says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the only reason why that tree became that way is because of the verses prior to it. It says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel, doesn't receive counsel from ungodly things, but his delight in his heart is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in what pleases God. His delight is in knowing him. And then it says, and he meditates on it. He ponders, he thinks, he really breathes it in day and night. That's the consistent thing I'm telling you guys. To be consistent day and night with God. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Boom, you're a beautiful tree by a river. And you don't move, you don't shake. Peter was not planted yet. Because waves in the sea and the wind supplanted him. And he cried out. But God is a God of love, man. God loves us so much. Let me do this. Yeah, there we go. And it says, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, little faith, why did you doubt? But listen, the minute Peter cried out, Jesus stretched his hand. Let me tell you something. In your relationship, God's always the one starting with you. You're like, well, today I'm going to sing to God. God put that in your heart. Okay? Because he wants you to sing, because he wants to encounter you. To bring you deeper in your knowledge and understanding of him. If you're not reading your Bible, then how are you going to really understand God? Like, if I don't understand what God has said, then I won't know how what God is going to say, because I'll fall for anything because I don't know what he already said. I need to relate what God is speaking to me by the Spirit to what he has already said, because they won't contradict. There's no conflict there. But conflict comes is when God is saying one thing and I'm thinking something different, and then there's conflict. But if I'm really following him, then I'm going to follow him and step and put faith behind his word. And one thing that's really big that keeps us back from interacting with God is fear. Plain and simple, it's always that fear thing. It's the fear of the unknown. Or what other people are thinking. Or what's it going to look like. That will always keep you back from interacting with him. It will always. I'm being honest. I've been there. Like, oh God, what are people going to think if I... And you know, I missed out on opportunities to like really shine the light of Jesus, because I was more concerned of the opinions of other people than concerned with what my father thought. I was more concerned about them looking at me, calling me a weirdo. Do you know that's like, that in itself is weird, because God already says I'm peculiar. God's like, hey guys, I made you all weird. Oh, join the club. You know? And so fear is what keeps us back. One thing that can help keep us from there is curiosity. We have this statement, curiosity killed the cat, right? And that's some of the reasons why we're not curious, because that's been ingrained in us from movies and books and people just talking. They say curiosity killed the cat. Woo, you bring it, Bruce. But they live in that mindset. And so as believers, we're no longer curious. How many people are like that sometimes? You're no longer curious about what God really wants to do. You got your books. We got good books from good teachers. We have our Bible, and we're really not curious on what God wants to do right now. Because we're so familiar with the story that we don't forget that God, we forget that God wants to have a story with us in it. We become so familiar with learning memory verses and learning the stories of the Bible, David, Goliath, Jonah, Elijah, and we live in their stories, but we don't realize God wants to have a story with us. And because of that, we no longer are curious for what God wants to do through us or in us. And if someone does speak about what God wants to do in you and through you, immediately fear and judgment comes. Fear always produces judgment. Let me say that clear. Fear is what produces judgment. Fear is what produces criticalness. I never met someone. You ever watch Ratatouille? How many people watch Ratatouille? If you haven't, it's a funny movie about a rat that cooks. But in the movie, there was this crazy critic. He was like one of the most acclaimed critics. You know, he was so brutal to people. And whenever he would criticize someone's restaurant, it would just go out of business. Because in his mind, he had fear of being disappointed. So he carried this fear, which made him very judgmental. And so every time he would try something, he'd be like, "Ah, it's not good." And then they would lose a star. Okay? A lot of times with believers, we are so scared of being deceived. Who's going to admit to that? We're so scared of being deceived that if it doesn't compute in our natural reasoning, we throw it out the window. I'm guilty of that. Okay? I'm growing just like everyone else in the room is growing. I haven't arrived, but guess what? I'm in the vehicle. Guess what? We haven't arrived, but we're in the vehicle, guys. Fear of being deceived is what keeps you back from interacting and engaging with God. All of a sudden, we're like this. How do I really know it's you? And then because in our hearts, we really don't know, we didn't hear yes or no, we run away. That's what we do. How many people know that's true? Just so we can, yeah, it's okay. It's just honesty. That's what we do. We run away. That was freaky. I don't know if it was God. Instead, Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." So in those moments, in those instances where I was praying and I saw a wall of fire, I'm like, no way. We're done for today. My devotion time is over. You know? But I wonder what would have happened if I would have said, "Lord, I'm seeing fire. If this is you, show more." Do you know that happened another time? And I said, "Lord, if this is you, more." And I can be honest with you guys, in front of me opened up a vision. And I was wide awake. I was like, "Oh my goodness, I always wanted God to do this with me." And I would have never have allowed him to do that if I would have stayed in a place of fear of being deceived. Jesus said, "Your Father is so good and kind. When you ask him for something, he's not going to say, 'I'm going to give you a snake.'" That's not what God's going to do. But a lot of times, fear produces judgment. And what we start doing is, and we really don't have understanding, we start just judging things based off of our own fear. My wife knows this is true because when she was raised Amish, they would say, "Don't you listen to nothing else. Don't you listen to the radio. Don't you listen to that. Don't you even go there. And don't listen to any other preachers, because they're all deceived." And the fear is what drove them to building these walls around themselves of safety so that they don't get deceived. And the funny thing about when you live like that, you're already deceived. When you live in a place of where you just judge and judge and judge and judge, it says this: we understand there's right judgment from God. But if your judgment is, if the motive behind your judgment is fear, then I'm going to ask you to become more curious. Because curiosity stops fear. Curiosity really stops fear. You know the thing about little children, they're not scared of anything. And we're like, "Dude, you cannot run in open traffic." "No. I'm playing tag." "No." And if we would teach them the reason why. And my son doesn't know that. Or touching the hot stove. "Don't touch the stove. You're going to get burned." "Ah!" Right? But there's always that sense of curiosity. Do you understand God's not going to allow you to get burnt if you're curious? Because he's a good father. Okay, if you're doing it in the innocence of your heart, because God says this in the Word, it says that in order for you to enter the kingdom, God's realm, which isn't a matter of talk, but power, which isn't meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, then you have to become a child. Because unless you become as a child, you cannot enter the kingdom. He's not talking about heaven, okay? That was already said. If you want to get into heaven, you have to receive me. But if you want to walk in my kingdom here on earth, you got to become a child. You got to be curious again. You got to be thrilled and full of wonder. You have to be excited again. You have to say, okay, God, what do you want to do today? And expect your Father to show up in a way either the same as he did, because he can do that. I give him grace to do that, or in a new way. Can you give God that freedom in your life? Do you know how it starts? It starts just like this. Jesus. And then you think to yourself, do I really want to do this? And you say, Jesus, I give you access to every room in me. I give you access to every door and every locked closet. Jesus, I give you permission to interact with me any way you desire, even if it freaks me out. I give you permission. Holy Spirit, I give you so much permission to do whatever you want. The same. I give you all of me all over again every day. Fill me up fresh with your presence, with your power, with God's love, and connect me more to my Father in a deeper way. I give you permission to encounter me as I read your word, to bring me understanding, illumination into my soul that I may see clearer than what I saw yesterday. I give you permission. God is waiting for your permission. He's always waiting for our permission, our response. He not. He's waiting for your permission saying, come in. He's waiting for your permission to say, if it's you, let me come to you. He's waiting. Don't allow judge fear to keep you back from knowing your Father who loves you greatly.